Please be seated for our Bible readings. And for our Bible readings, we're going to turn first to page 206 in our church Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we begin reading at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. Let us hear God's word. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you, so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We shall now turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, page 1213. 1213 is the page number. Hebrews chapter 13, and we are turning to the opening verses of that chapter. This is the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. The author, many argue that the author of this book was the Apostle Paul. The author is drawing the book to a close, and here we have the instruction, or a series of instructions, that the people of God are to heed. Let us hear this portion of God's word. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you had. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What? I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now let's turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're in the opening verses of Deuteronomy chapter 31. Let us ask for God's blessing as we look together at verses at the head of this chapter. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you afresh in these moments that you were pleased long, long ago to speak to servants of you, the living God, and through them to give your word for the benefit ultimately of all people here on earth. Lord, we recognize that the book of Deuteronomy contains that which you communicated to your people through Moses, some 3,500 years ago. But Lord, how we thank you that here there are principles and truths that apply in every single generation. And Lord, we thank you for the great promises that we find in this portion of your word and upon which we now meditate this night. May your promises be those that we keep at the forefront of our minds, cherish in our hearts, and are stirred by as we seek to serve you. For Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen. Moses, it seems, has completed the call to the people to be recommitted, to be faithful and true to the covenant God had made with them. That's been the major theme of the preceding chapters. But now we have the beginning of the conclusion of this book. And here we see this servant of God telling these people that they are to be individuals who humble themselves before God. And they are also to be those who rejoice in the promises of God and live in the light of those promises. There's these two themes that we find interwoven in these verses. This theme of humility and submission on the one hand, and this theme of delight and excitement in the promises of God on the other. Well, you're asking the question, where do we see in these verses this theme of humility and submission? Well, let's have a look then, first of all, at the example of Moses himself. We read in verse 1 that he is speaking words to all of Israel. He's been speaking in the past, and here he is continuing to speak. Well, what does he say? Well, the first thing we note is that he speaks of his age. I am 120 years old, he says. Now, we know that when they began the years of the wilderness wanderings, the book of Exodus tells us this, he was 80 years of age, and his brother Aaron was 83 years of age. And we know that there's been 40 years of wilderness wandering. They'd come out of Egypt, they'd gone to Sinai, they had proved somewhat rebellious against the Lord, and the Lord had led them in the desert for 40 years. And now, 80 plus 40 is 120, and Moses is saying, I'm an old man. And Moses would have known that he was an old man. He's the author of Psalm 90. And it's in Psalm 90 that we find stated that the years of the average person here on earth are some 70 to 80 years. Well, God had spared this man beyond the age of 80. In fact, God had used this man in a marvelous way in the remaining 40 years of his life. And God had enabled this man to maintain his faculties. He's able to think clearly. He's able to speak clearly. He's able to articulate the word of God clearly. Oh, how we should pray that for as many years as the Lord is pleased to spare us, our years would be years of knowing and understanding and of articulating the word of God. We need to speak it to ourselves. We need to share it with our families and with our circle of friends. Well, here's a man who has humbly walked with God. He's not been perfect, and he's going to allude to his imperfection in the words that follow. And that continues this theme of humbling oneself before the Lord, of submitting ourselves to God. But let me just say another word or two about the humility of this man, the realism of this man. Yes, he knows what his age is, but he also knows that he is growing weak. I am no longer able to go out and come in. Those words seem to indicate that he is aware of his frailty. I recognize that you can couple them and link them directly with the concluding words of verse 2, and therefore you could put a slightly different shade of meaning upon them, because in the concluding words of verse 2 he says, the Lord said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. And so if you couple the words with that statement, he's recognizing, well, here they are, the people of Israel. They're here on the eastern side of the Jordan. They're about to cross. The time has come when God is going to go ahead of them and lead them into there. Of course, it's Joshua who'll lead them, not me. God has made that clear, many years before. And therefore, he's recognizing he's no longer able to go out and come in amongst them because the time has come for his departure. So you can either take it as he is indicating his physical weakness, or he's indicating his understanding of the will of God for him. And he's humbling himself before God. He is submitting to God's will. Now we can find that something hard to do. We can find that we want to maintain our position, hold on in some way or other to the faculties that we've got. How many people who in their advancing years have been tempted to grow angry with God as they have become aware of their fragility. Oh, I can't do what I used to be able to do. And they've not taken pleasantly to the realization that we're finite. Oh, when we're young and healthy, we can dash around and we can do things and we can be seen to be those who seem to have more strength even than some of those who are older than us. And certainly we have more strength and stamina, it seems, than those who are elderly. Well, we can be jealous of them if we're old, but those who are young can look down their noses and be dismissive of those who are older and wiser, but yet physically now weaker. All of us must humble ourselves before God. And the great lesson we must remind ourselves of is that we're here just for a short while. We are subject to decay. We are not going to live in this body forever. The day of death will come. The day of our departing from this world will come. Our responsibility is to prepare for it. And it's not easy. Because if you've got your faculties, as Moses evidently did, you will be aware that others are going to continue to survive here on earth and will have the privilege of enjoying certain blessings from Almighty God. Moses knew that God was going to bless Joshua. Moses knew that God was going to bless the people of Israel as they crossed over the Jordan into the land of promise. But he knew that he would not be part of those blessings. He humbly submits to the will of God. And he humbly submits to the fact that it is his responsibility to hand over leadership from himself to Joshua, the next appointed leader by Almighty God. Why was Moses not going to enter that land? Well, we read of that in the book of Numbers. It's because he didn't trust God or honour God before the people of God at a time of testing when the peoples themselves were displeased with him. And there's a challenge to us, for our responsibility is at all times to trust God and to honour God. Yes, in all that we do, our concern should be to honour him. Moses, at a crucial point, loved God, but yet behaved in a way that was displeasing to God. Yes, we can, and so often are, a bundle of contradictions. We can love the Lord, but yet we can fail to be true and faithful to him, honouring him as we should. And so God said to Moses, because of this, you are not going to enter the land. Joshua will lead the people a cross. I have this responsibility for you. You're to lead the people through the wilderness to the edge of the promised land. And our responsibility for ourselves is to see, well, what has God called me to do? And am I going to be faithful in doing what God's called me to do in the time that he allots to me? And none of us knows the time that is allotted to us. And therefore it is important that we humble ourselves before him. We submit to his will. You see, our responsibility is to read three books. We're to read the book of creation. We're to see what God is saying to us about himself through all that he has made. He's the all-powerful one. He's the almighty one. He is the one who has designed the intricacies of each and every cell. He is the one who has designed how this enzyme relates to that enzyme in the life of a living creature. He is the one who has given life to those creatures that have life. He is the one who made mankind in his image. We bow before him as we read the book of creation. And we bow before him as we read his written word. The words that he gave to Moses, the words that he gave to Joshua and David and Samuel and the other psalm writers and the prophets, and the words that he gave to the New Testament writers, the writers of the New Testament books, the Matthews, the Marks, the Lukes and the Johns, whom we see mentioned there, and many others. Yes, he's given us his written word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as Psalm 119 puts it. And we're to read that book, and we're to seek under God to retain the message of his book. So we stand in awe at God the Creator. We stand in awe at God the Saviour who has spoken. But there's another book that we must learn to read. Moses had learned to read it, and it's the book of Providence. What God has appointed, how God is leading us, what God is allowing to happen, appointing in our own lives. There's nothing that happens to us that is out with his gracious purposes. He uses everything for our good, even the tragedies that befall us. And so we humble ourselves and submit ourselves before his mighty hand. And so we see this servant of God doing that in these moments. We see his humility. We see his submission. But we also see his confidence. And of course, it's the confidence that he has that enables him to be a man of humility and submission. Well, what is his confidence? He's resting on the purposes and the promises of Almighty God. So, have a look at the purposes. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. You see, he knows the purposes of God. God has promised that he is going to give his people a land. That is what he understood in his day, 3,000 years ago. And he knew that that promise had been given hundreds of years earlier, even to Abraham, the man who had been called from Ur of the Chaldees to travel westwards to the land that the Lord, his God, would lead him to. And when he got to that land, the land of Canaan, God's promise was, I'm going to give you this land to you and to your seed. Well, he dwelt there, but the time came when his descendants went down to Egypt, and they were in Egypt a long time. But then the time came when God brought his people out of Egypt and led them back to the land of promise. Yes, that was God's purpose. The land of the Jebusites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, the Gibeonites and others. This is the land that I'm going to give to you. And here is the promise of God. The Lord will go over before you. Now you say to yourself, well, what's that got to do with us 3,000 years later? 3,500 years later? What use is this to us? We're not going to go to the land of Canaan and inherit that land. No, but this is a type and shadow of the glorious promise of Almighty God. And what is the glorious promise of Almighty God to his people? You shall inherit the earth. That's the promise of Almighty God to every man, woman, or child who entrusts themselves to Jesus Christ. Because God's purpose and plan is to transform this world. We're living in a world that is marked by decay, corruption and decay, change and decay. All around I see, is how the hymn writer put it. But the day is coming when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The present form of things will be wonderfully, gloriously transformed. Yes, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what God's people are going to inherit. That is where God's people are going to dwell with him forever. There will be no sin. All sin will be banished. All death, all misery, all pain will be banished away. Well, here's these people being told, you're going to go into that land which I've promised to give to Abraham and to his descendants. I've dealt patiently with the occupants of it, these people that we mentioned just now. I've given them opportunities to seek me and to call upon me whilst I'm near. But they have chosen to go their way instead of my way. And so you're going to go in and you're going to dispossess those people of the land. You're going to possess it instead. But I'm going to be with you as you go in to that land. Look at the way it's put here. The Lord himself will go over before you. That's how verse 3 begins. So here's the purpose of God. But here also is the promise of God. His purpose is that they have that land. And the promise is, I'm going to go before you. I am the one who is going to lead you. The Lord's my shepherd. I'll not want. He leads me to green pastures. Yes, he is the one who leads his people. The people of God are called to rest upon God. And that's what Moses is being used of God to teach these people as he prepares to leave them. There's the covenant. You're to be committed to the covenant God, and you're to keep the terms of the covenant that God has made with you. I'm now going to leave you, for that's God's appointment for me. Joshua is going to be your new leader. You're going to inherit that land, but the Lord is going to go before you. Now that tells them that they're not to go and occupy that land in their own strength. Yes, they're going to have to exert themselves, but God's going ahead of them. God's preparing the way. God is going to give this land to them. So they're to go relying upon the Lord. And that's a great principle that God's people should remember each and every day. As we seek to honour him in our homes, in the world, in the church, wherever he is pleased to place us, we do so relying upon him. What does the Lord Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. Well, that's what God was teaching the people in the days of Moses. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. He'll go before you. He will empower you. What a great and glorious God God is. You see, that's his purpose, to bless his people as they serve him here on earth. And the promise is that God will give them complete victory. For what does he say? The Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. Yes, he's going to destroy the present occupants of the land, so the people of God may know that all that stands in the way of God's blessing of them will be removed by the Lord in his appointed time. Well, rest on him, the God of promise. And so we come to the challenge that we find right at the end of this wee passage. There's an instruction, there's two imperatives that come together. What are the people of God told to do in the light of the fact that God has his purposes and that God has his promises? Well, they're to be strong and they are to be courageous. That's what we find at the head of verse 6. Those two instructions. Be strong. Be courageous. It's as though God is saying to his people, look, be bold. In the days of Daniel, peoples of the world could see, not just the people of God, that those who love the Lord and honour the Lord are those who do great exploits. Oh yes, they step out with boldness. With courage, the Lord's with me. Because he's with me, I am to be a man, a woman, a young person who's filled with confidence. But notice what follows. Be strong, be courageous. Do not fear. You see, the negative is stated so that you understand the force of the positive. Oh yes, the strong person, the courageous person, is the person who under God seeks not to be afraid. The task in front of them may be great. It may be something that demands a lot of energy, a lot of endurance, a lot of perseverance. But don't be afraid. Don't give up. Don't draw back. God is your God. The task that God calls you to may be opposed. It may be opposed with a great degree of intensity by the evil one or by evil people. Think about what happened in the days of Mary when she succeeded Edward VI back then in the 16th century. Years of blessing under Edward VI, suddenly became years of intense persecution. As Mary sought to see the nation take it back to the darkness of the corruption of the medieval church, instead of walking in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that God in his mercy had enabled to come to the fore in the life of our nation in the days of a strange king who seemed to be unsatisfied with too many wives. One after the other, he had them. But in the mercies of God, when those strange political things were happening, there were people being used of God, like Thomas Cranmer, like Ridley, like Hooper, to share the word of God, which God had brought to light again through the work of people like Wycliffe and Tyndale in the earlier years. But then Mary wants to destroy it all. Oh, be strong and courageous. The Lord your God is with you. He will go before you. It may be that you are martyred, but the cause of the gospel will prosper. That's something that Latimer saw, isn't it? Play the man, Master Ridley. This day we shall light a candle in England, the likes of which we trust under God will never, ever go out. You see, the people of God are to see the purposes and plans of God. They're to hear the promises of God, and they're to rest on these. And they're to be strong and courageous, not afraid or in dread. And they're to be reminding themselves, God goes before and God goes with his people. That's what it says in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear and be dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. Back in verse 3, he said the Lord's going to go before you. Now in verse 6, he's saying the Lord goes with you. But then notice the high point on which these 6 verses end. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Ah, my friend, weigh those words in your heart, in your mind for a moment. Ask yourself, do you believe that the Lord is with you? Are you confident that the Lord is with you? Do you know him with you? That's what Moses did. He knew that. That's what Joshua did. He knew that. That's what any and all who trust in God can know. The Lord with me. But then go the next step and ask yourself, are you reassured in your heart he'll never leave you nor forsake you? And it's interesting to reflect, isn't it? When you turn over from the book of Deuteronomy into the book that follows, the book of Joshua, when we read of the people going in to occupy the land, what's one of the first things that God says to Joshua as he leads the people? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, it's a promise that's repeated. God repeats his promises to his people. You and I hear the repetition of these promises whenever we read these verses of scripture. And we can fast forward from the book of Deuteronomy into the book of Joshua, as I've just indicated. But then we can fast forward right the way through to the book of Hebrews and to the 13th chapter, the last chapter of that book, which we read as our second Bible reading. What's the great message there? Oh yes, there's all these instructions about honouring marriage, about caring for one another, letting brotherly love continue. and other instructions. But there's the pointer to God. Rest on him. And there's the promise of God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So, my friend, as you go about your duties each day, as you engage in various activities, whether that be of a formal nature in a place of employment or school or study, or whether it be as you join in with Christians in the life of the church, or whether you socialize with friends from one's street or community, what are you reflecting upon? What's motivating you deep, deep down? Surely we must, if we're the people of God, focus on the purposes and plans of God and on the promises of God. And in looking at those, we then rely upon God. We rest on him. We see him going before us. We see him going with us. We see him following after us, because he's never going to leave nor forsake us. What a glorious God God is. Oh, my friends, delight in him. And the only way you'll ever delight in him is by doing what Moses did all those years ago. Entrust yourself to him. That's what Moses was enabled to do by grace. And that's what countless other individuals have done by God's grace down the years. Throw yourself upon the Lord. Ask him to have mercy upon you. Ask him to reassure you in your heart that these promises are true to his people in every single generation. And you will find your life transformed. It will go on to a different plane than the mere mundane. You'll be, as it were, with the Lord in the heavenly realms, even though your feet will be firmly fixed here on earth. You'll be experiencing the pleasures of God that he gives to his people who trust in him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of Moses. We thank you that his concern was to see the people be true and faithful to you, the living God. We thank you, Lord, that he himself knew what it was to be humbled, especially when he failed to honor you as he ought to have done to those people who were moaning and groaning, as it were, as they traveled on towards the land of promise. Lord, we know that sometimes we can be facing hardships and difficulties and trials, which can even perplex us. But help us, Lord, we pray, to be those who know that you've promised to go before us, to always be with us, and never to leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, may we never be afraid, but may we trust, even though we may not see or understand what is happening at a particular point in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones. Oh Lord, help us to be those who are resting upon you, the living God, upon your purposes and plans and your glorious, wonderful promises. For Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen.